We're going to talk about time today. Ecclesiastes, you know this verse. It's the most famous one. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything, say everything. Everything. There is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to harvest. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build up. A time to cry, a time to laugh. A time to grieve. A time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to turn away from embracing, the other translation says. A time to search, a time to quit searching, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be quiet, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate. A time for war, a time for peace. We can agree with all of these things, but the real goal for all of us is to know what time is what. Where are we in certain things? And that's why the word is here for us. By the way, there is one word in 8 verses that is used 29 times. What word was it? It was a time. 29 times. How many of you know God doesn't have to say anything 29 times to get a point over to himself? But people have to hear things over and over and over. You remember the story there. You read the account of Joshua. And here's Joshua. Joshua's got big shoes to follow. I mean, Charlton Heston. I mean, he's got big shoes to follow. And God comes to him and says this to him. He says, son, he said, I want you to be strong. He said, I want you to be courageous. He said, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. All right, that ought to be enough, okay? But God said it again. In fact, God said it 3 times in the account there with Joshua. God doesn't have to say anything for his benefit more than once. He said, there is light. Boom, light showed up. So it is done. The emphasis is here for us as humans to listen to the emphasis. There is a reason that it's being emphasized. I want to talk to you today about time. Someone says, time comes, time goes, time stops for no one. You know, everything in life is timing. Everything in life is timing. Everything in nature is timing. Everything is there. We sing about time is on my side. They've sung it for years, and sure enough, they're in their 80s still singing, time is on my side. I remember as a kid listening to the radio and on the AM radio and hearing WTIX, and you're hearing Otis Redding. He's just sitting on the dock of the bay. What's he doing? Wasting time. That's what it said right there. Randy Travis took the great Brooke Benton song in the 90s, and he had a big country hit with It's Just a Matter of Time. It's all about time, timing right now. And as I get a little older, I think I'm becoming more cognizant and more locked into the truth that time is everything. Time waits for no one. And we all feel like we're living in the roughest times, and we are in many levels. But it's in relationship to our time on the planet. This is a rough time. I heard somebody the other day having a problem, and they were discombobulated with the world. And she said, "I may not have lost all my marbles yet, but there is a small hole in the bag somewhere." She's saying. You ever feel that way when time's running out and you're trying to figure out what you're doing right now? I want to talk to you about time, the days in which we live right now. I've quoted some scriptures, and some of you know the scriptures. I'll quote something that I bet everybody can answer. As sands in the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. Yeah, I know where you've been. Like sand. A couple of the songs talk about our life looking as sand through an hourglass. We are running out of time. We are running out of time. Back in the late 1800s, his name was Frank McGurin. He was an expert professional with the Remington Typewriter Company. He's demonstrating the touch abilities of a typewriter. You were pushing pretty hard in those days. And the thing, if you took typing class, probably they won't do it anymore because they don't want to say these things. Do they have typing class anymore? They do. You remember what he wrote? Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. That was the assignment. That was one of the first drills in the Remington Typewriter Company in the late 1800s. But these are different times. All of life is about timing. Timing is everything. This is a different time we're living in right now. People are different. Young people are different. Old people are different. They're all kinds of different. How different are things right now? You know, you know when we watch the coyotes strap a firecracker on his back on roller skates and he's trying to catch it, they never had to tell us, don't try this at home. We weren't morons. I mean, come on. They never told us, don't try this at home. You know, and you'd see all these things, and Bugs Bunny would Elmer Fudd would shoot a Daffy Duck and his bill would go around his head there. Don't try this at home. It doesn't work. Somebody said it this way. If you think you're smarter than the previous generation 50 years ago, the owner's manual of a car those years showed you how to adjust the valves. Today it warns you not to drink the contents of the battery. They're having to write on detergent, don't eat. Don't eat. These are different times. These are different times. Time works, but time doesn't stop. The ticking of a clock, you hear that sometimes. An engine, your engine's not working quite right. It's not firing quite right, and they will say to you, the timing is off. Something is off. It's not working right. It's off. They tell you that if you're not on the plane when it says it's going to depart, you will miss the plane. A time has been set. The end of a test. You're in school. She sets the button and it ticks off. There is going to be an end. This morning, some of you heard some soft music or a buzzer, and that time told you your night's sleep was over. How long will the milk last? Time's written on the side of it. Linda's one of those, if it says the 10th and today is the 9th, it's gone. Tyler and I, we smell it on the 13th and it seems to be okay. It passes. How long does it take to get there? Have you ever had kids in the car? How long? It's all about time. Do you know hitting a baseball is one of the hardest things to do in sports? And it's all about timing. It's all about timing. Did he swing too late? Did he swing too early? And it's up, it's down. It's all about timing. It's a very hard, hard thing to do. But when it hits the sound, you go, you know the sound, and it's going over the fence. We were watching a ball game the other day, and the receivers were not able to catch the ball. I won't tell you which team it was. And they were throwing these out patterns, and it wasn't getting there. And part of the problem, they showed that the defensive backs were bumping them. Now, with us, they can bump them as long as they want to, and they won't be called. Bump them, and the short bump is enough to throw the timing pass playoff so that when they turn, it's already up there. He's been bumped. He ain't there yet. Do you wonder why things haven't worked sometimes? Timing's off. The timing's off. Timing is everything. Here we are right now. We've been singing this morning, timing is everything. We were singing, behold, he won, two, dun, 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 dun. You sing other song. You got some 6-8 type feels. A 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hear the bells ringing. They're singing. Or they've got 3-4 time. Ba da da. Or if it's a cut down. Ba da. And different times. And if he's in that time, he's in that time, and he's in another time there. You got a train wreck there. Timing is everything. Timing is everything. Do you know, though, we've worked hard in our life to be on time. I think it's something to strive for. She was taught to be on time. I was taught to be on time. I didn't want to go to hell. That's what I was threatened with. Yeah, we were taught to be on time. You see folks that are always on time, but you see others who have no regard for time. And everybody has an accident, but if it's habitual, that means it's planned for, or maybe the deep-seated thing, the event is not that important that I need to be there. I've come from the school, if you weren't 5 minutes early, you were late already. It's inconsiderate with habitual lateness. Even when we come to God, Father, right now, I want to hear what you say. Lord, what is the on-time word? But we're listening at a time right now where the timing is off. But let me tell you, God has a timeline too. God has a timeline too. Many people aren't concerned about the time in which we live. We're concerned about being on time for the plane. We're concerned about getting to the movie on time. We're concerned about getting to the kickoff on time. We're concerned about getting to the dinner on time. But do you know God has a timeline too? And people aren't concerned about they're living their life as if there is no timeline in the world today. They dance. The scripture talks about people who dance and play like there is no tomorrow. But we should be concerned about time for one reason, because God is. Because God is. Jesus is coming back one day. The clock is already ticking right now. You saw that bumper sticker. Jesus is coming. Look busy. He's coming back. Timing is everything. On our radio program at night, sometimes we've got to, maybe the time goes a little change, and in the commercial break, say to the producer, "How much time do I have? How much time is left before this break comes? How much time before the background music comes? How much when do I have to get out of this segment there?" If you don't do that, and things are computerized a lot of times, and breaks will come in, and it'll be a mess there. We're concerned about time, though, Doctor. How much time do I have? But God is concerned about time. You can't turn back. You're on a timeline. I'm on a timeline. Start thinking about the concept of time, and that might change some things in your life. The motivational books tell me right now that Elon Musk has the same amount of time that I have. Boy, that's hard to understand. How many of you ever been in a function? You've been in church service. Or you've been in a class, or you've been in some situation, and you walk away and you say to yourself, "That's an hour I'll never get back." You understand that? And we've all felt that. Well, our life is that way. And God is on a timeline. Yes, time does come. Time does go. Time stops for no one. But the key right now is not to be discouraged, not to be in despair, but to say, "Lord, what should I do with the time that you've given me today? How do I prepare?" Paul was preparing a young man for the day that he would not be with him. And in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, he said, "I solemnly urge you." Now, the King James Version, he says this, "I charge you." In fact, the further implication is that it is almost a legal term there. I am binding you to this. "I solemnly urge you in the presence, in the hearing of God and Jesus Christ, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom." So I could put in parenthesis, "So in the meantime, preach the word of God. Be prepared." I think it's the Message Bible. I think it says, "Be sitting on go." Isn't that a wonderful thought there? Be sitting on go. Even with all the time going on in the world, you can still be prepared. You can be sitting on go because there's going to be an opening. There's going to be a time for a word there. He says, sitting on go. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Just be ready. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. I'm trying to do that this morning. He says, here's why. There's another time coming. It's not godly. "For a time is coming." Sound familiar? "When people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching." But the King James says they will no longer listen to doctrine. Foundational truths. Not just woo-woo, I feel woo-woos, I feel blessings here. But what are the concrete things of when your foundation goes down? Some people, they live from experience to experience, looking for those sort of things there. And there's no foundation. Jesus said it real clear. You've got a house, it looks really good. But when the wind and the rain and the circumstance and the passage of time come to it, it's going to crumble, it's going to fall, simply because it was not grounded on a foundation. Something. something deep. We're living in a time right now where people no longer, even church-type people, do not want to stop long enough to listen to sound doctrine, sound teaching. I think we're here right now. And here's what it says. And they will follow their own desires. They will look, now he's not talking to heathens. They will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. We're here right now. You know, the scripture clearly says that we are made in the likeness and the image of God. That our quest is to be more like him, to lean into the traits that his spirit births in us, the love, the joy, those things. You're not going to get these things by putting them on the outside. It's got to start from the inside first. And then these things that are listed as manifestations and gifts come out from the inside of what is being birthed in the core there, in that core relationship with God. It says we are in the image and the likeness of God. But a lot, even Christians right now, in contemporary Christianity right now, and it's so friendly and it's so happy, and the birds are singing and the coffee's good, and there's flowers there, and we're singing about rainbows, and we're doing all those things, and we are trying to make God in our image. Now, all those things are great. They have a time and a place, but it's not your foundation. That's just the dessert after the meal. He said they won't listen to this. They're going to want to hear what they want to hear. They will listen to this now. They will reject the truth. They will chase after myths. You know, a lot of times we can tell you what's so bad out in the world right now. That's easy. Anybody can enumerate those things. Anybody can see those things. But when we really, really realize that God's put us on a timeline to be an influence to those among us, we need to realize that the change needs to come within a church, within the body of Christ, with the way you relate to one another, with the way the word comes forth, getting into the word. I don't mean a drive-by on Sunday morning for an hour and 20 minutes. I'm talking about a real thing. This is only just to kind of brush you off. Somebody said, what do you do? I said, I'm a goalie. What do you mean? I'm a soccer goalie. I'm catching you on Sunday and in the net. I'm wiping you off and I'm throwing you back in play. I'll see you next time. I want you to keep moving. I want you on the playing field. I want you to know the word. I want you to hear these things. I'm trying to come back and do it again. It's going to be good. It says they will reject the truth and chase after myths. Now, what he was going with right now, you need to know there was a thing going on. He didn't just deliver this. There was actually going on, even through the churches at that time, a rejection of the word, even to the point the definitive message of the cross, and they were trying to change that. They were writing a little revisionist history in the church, if you will, and they were minimizing the cost and the sacrifice and what would be required to us of dying to ourselves, dying to our sins, and walking in newness of life the way Paul would preach it. But there was going, and it was doctrine corruption going on within the church. But the whole time he said, you be ready. The clock's ticking. Be ready. There'll be a time for you to speak, and it's incumbent upon you to be ready. Paul dealt with this a lot in his writings. It's really good to read the writings of Paul if you're a new Christian and you're learning. It's even more important to read the writings of Paul if you are a Christian and you walk for many years, and it is a growth. It is something to look back. It is something brought in front of our eyes that we look at. It's a template, if you will, that we lay across ourselves and to check the list off. How's this working right now? He was dealing with this even with the Corinthian people. 1 Corinthians, he says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. We're living in a time right now. We started seeing threads of this back in the 70s when they were republishing hymn books, if you will. Y'all don't maybe know what a hymn book is right now, but the hymn books, that's all we had. And they begin to go and they begin to do revisionist language that was very, very subtle in the hymn books. And it was the reference of the blood being shed. Oh, that's, we're talking, you don't want to talk about blood or anything about being a soldier for Jesus. We don't want to sing any military song. And they started slowly taking these things out of the hymn book to neuter it, the power of it and the anointing and the majesty of God's people coming together and singing these songs. And that's why I'll go back and sing, the blood will never lose its power. That's why, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And these were the conversations that were going on in the church at that time, that they were minimizing those things and making it a little bit more user-friendly. But as time passed, he said, I am the timeless one. I'm not changing. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed to destruction. But we, that's you. We who are being saved know that it is the very power of God. They want the blessings of God. They want the approval of God. They want the chills of God. But they do not want to embrace the power of the real word there. So back to Timothy where I started. Pick up in verse 5. Remember what he said? He said they're going to chase after myths. Remember that? Here's where he picks up. But you, my boy, you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Now, I'm working on this right now. I think this is a task for all of us to work on having a clear mind in every situation. I cannot make myself do it, but as I continue to work with it and lay it in God's hands, he will help us. And we'll see spurts where it's there, and we're still working on it. He said, you do this. Well, but it might be kind of bad at times. Guess what? It's already there. So don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news. You know, the climate in which we live right now, some of the persecution people are going through right now, we can even work at telling others the good news. Fully carry out the ministry that God's given you. In other words, you know what he's saying right there? When you see all the wheels coming off, don't panic. I say that to you today. We can agree on a lot of difficulties and things that frighten us and really tick us off right now. But don't panic. Don't panic. Just stay ready. Just stay ready. Stay ready. As for me, now he's getting near the end of his journey, and he's ready to impart, and he has seen a whole lot now. He said, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. He's lived his life pouring out his life, in and out of jail, good times and bad times there. From his conversion, when he hit the ground running and the scales finally came off his eyes, there was no looking back. He wasn't going to burn any time under his feet right there. He said, because the time of my death is near. Now, if the apostle who wrote the whole right side of your Bible was on a death timeline, we're on a timeline. Hate to bring you all this happy news on a Sunday morning, but the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking right now. What do you mean? He laid it out in Hebrews 9. It has been appointed. In other words, it is a set time for men to die once. And after this, the judgment. Aren't you glad that if you're walking in him, you're only going to die once? If you're walking in faith, you'll only die once. You'll only die once. The appointed time means a time has been set. So I'll go back to Paul. He's been saying, my time's running out, but my time has been well spent. I like that. He said, the time of my death is near. And then in verse 7, I love this. Watch this. I have fought a good fight. I've finished the race. I've remained faithful. Wow. Three targets to shoot for, kids. Three targets to shoot for. Fought the good fight. Fought the good fight. Finished the race. That's a big thing right there. Maybe you're overwhelmed right now. And maybe you've entertained some things. Well, gee, what's the use? Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. I finished the race. And a quality we don't see as much anymore. Even the quest in the scripture, who can find a faithful man? I have remained faithful, he said. And now the prize awaits me. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. I'd like to say something to you. The day of his return has already been set. Now, if some guy tells you on TV for 1995, he's going to tell you that day, go to the shopping channel. Buy some pots and pans. Do something there. Nobody knows. You see, but you have to live your life in such a way that he's coming back tomorrow. One of the old-time preachers said, you live your life believing he could come back tomorrow, but you work like he's not going to come back for 20 years. We've seen vivid illustrations even within this church family. I think we have made a mistake by telling people to be looking for his coming and making that your only reason for breathing right now. No. He is coming, and if you are doing what he said to do, you've got a ticket on the bus. Don't worry about that. But the bottom line is right now, what are you going to do with tomorrow? What are you going to do with tomorrow? Somebody said, I don't get in discussions with people if he's going to come tomorrow, how long it's going to be, how long he's going to be. I have personal opinions about it, but I know in part, I see in part, the word says. And I have grace for different people here's the bottom line. Be ready. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. Your philosophy and what you think and how this is all going to work out, it means nothing if you walked off and a bus hit you right out there today. Because as far as you were concerned, he came today. And that's it. I have seen time, and it's all about the timing, that when his time, we are ready for that. You know, I've seen timing work in almost accidents. I think I've told you before, I think. I remember one time, and I still think about it. It's the craziest thing. I'm not one to go back and, you know, I do my best to move on. But I'll never forget it one day. And I remember when I came home and told Linda, I was coming from downtown, and I was headed out to the east, and you go over the high rise and you make that turn and you have that little stretch there before it turns one more time there. And I'll never forget it. I'd been in some traffic or whatever. I don't know what it was. And I remember I went over that thing, made the turn, and I'm going down, and all of a sudden I saw commotion out of my peripheral vision here in my car. And my instinct, it was the Holy Spirit. My foot stomped. I mean, I was already going 65, and I stomped it. It came over me. It was out of my brain. It was out of everything. It was like the Holy Ghost spoke to the foot. He said, "Push it, push it." And I saw coming through on the other side. They had those planting things. There was no obstruction. It was these plants that look like they're dead all the time, you know, and all of a sudden I saw this thing, and I could see this car coming through, and I didn't have time to turn. I was going straight, and this whole part of my body didn't act. It's my foot. Boom, I pushed it, and literally at that moment, I saw that thing, and it was here. And the next thing I know, I saw it go behind my car, and it actually covered the view of my rear view mirror. I couldn't see anything else. It was that, and then it went to the other side and spun out and went to the other side. A blink. Hell's timing got knocked off. Hell's timing, the receiver of hell got bumped at the line, and the pass wasn't completed. But I got to tell you something, man. It was so, I could have read his watch. It was so close. I promise you. And there's sometimes I've thought about that over and over. What if I'd have been? And I remember telling her, and it stayed with me for a long time. And I don't know how to explain it. I got two answers though. Wasn't my time. He said, "I'm not through with you." Thank God for the timing that was off at times in our lives. And we can all look back and we can say, "Lord, if that would have happened, I'd have been destroyed." But he interrupted the timing of hell, and it wasn't an assignment that could run through. I just want to encourage you today. Be encouraged. You're still here today because he ain't through with you. He's not finished with you right now. I fought the fight. And the prize is not just for me, he said, but for all who will eagerly look forward to his appearing. So I wrote, what time is it? What time is it? It's time to stay close to God. It's time. It's time to stay close to God. It's time to stay close to God's word. It is time to stay close to people of like faith. It's time. And in his writing to that another church one day, he said, so see then that you walk circumspectly. That means paying attention. That means being wise, not as fools, but as wise. Now, right there, if you want something to live by in 2022, see that you walk circumspectly. You know, we read the he wrote the communion scriptures that we read a lot of times. Let a man do what? Examine himself. Look inside. Look inside. Nobody else can look inside those deep-seated things. See that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. And he told them that you had to redeem the time. In fact, the scripture you're used to hearing is redeem the time wisely, as a matter of fact, it says right there. Now, why is that? Because the days are evil. You know why there? Because there were many distractions going on within the church, without the church, the government of that day. There are many distractions that you can go off on. You can go down many rabbit holes. Don't get distracted right now, is what he's really saying, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise. That's pretty big if he says it twice. But understand the will of God, what it is. That's big too. Then he goes into this. I don't want you distracted. I don't want you debilitated. I don't want your senses dulled. I'll read what it says here. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. He was speaking specifically about things that would dull our senses, that if left unchecked leads us to the depletion of our bodies and our lives. And even he was dealing with even church people there that because of their excesses, they were living lives of debauchery and claiming under grace they could live under grace because they had been redeemed by grace. Therefore, they could do whatever they wanted to do. Paul addressed that later, said, God forbid, don't do these things. A distraction. He was talking about don't live with dull senses. Be aware, be knowledgeable of what time it is. Be alert. Don't be just stumbling around. Isaiah 6, 2 Corinthians, Hebrews 5, more throughout. I went through them. I quit writing them down. God sends the word about talking about people with dull senses. You want to know how to live right now? Walk circumspectly. You want to know how to redeem time? Don't have a dull sense walking around. What's the word saying? What's the Lord saying? What is the real story here? And sometimes you watch something on TV. Don't buy everything that comes down there. Lord, what's the truth here? What's the discernment? Lord, and he will do that. He will do that. You might hear it. You might hear it exactly. You might hear something else. You may feel a leading. You may see something else that comes in your path right now. Talk about people with dull senses. Not us, though. Don't make that be said about us. We were in a meeting a few weeks ago. We've been in a couple meetings with him before. And Linda was the one that found his book so many years ago and read it to the boys when they were little. And he was raised in a very difficult family. Mother couldn't even read. And he went through it. He dealt with serious anger issues to the point one day he even took a hammer and went after his brother with the hammer. And when you listen to Ben Carson talk now, And you listen to what he has done in the very first surgeon that divided the conjoined twins, the babies at the head, and he went through that. And you listen to him talk, and you listen to the gentleness right now. And we saw him a few weeks ago, a couple of years ago. I was at a function, and they asked me to pray for something. I sang the anthem, I think, and prayed or whatever. And I'm standing right here at the podium, and I prayed a prayer. And you know, they want you to pray those great God of the universe prayers. Yeah, but you know, I give them that for a minute, and then I start talking about the covenant God, and then I talk about the Lord, and I'll drop those, and then I'll go in Jesus' name, amen. And all of a sudden, right here, I heard, that is my kind of prayer. Ben Carson was standing right here in my head. I said, well, I did my best, pal. He said, thank you. Ben Carson said this the other day. We heard him say it. We are called to be purposeful during this time. Christians are called to engage in the culture war. You're a threat to cultural ideology. What a man of God. Don't be afraid. Don't run. But use your time right. When you see the opening, be smart. Don't be silly. I've seen people that might have the right word, and they might have a 9 on content, but they got a 2 on form, you know. They don't know when to do it. They don't know when the time's right. They don't know the place. You need wisdom. Lord, is this right? Lord, I want to walk circumspectly. I don't want to say the right thing at the wrong time that's not going to be of the most effect for your kingdom right now. Does that make sense? That's a good word. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful, y'all. He's on the timeline. We are too. I like that. Even if you've messed up, don't be discouraged, the scripture is telling me today. Don't be distracted. Be careful what derails you. Be careful what stops you. Be careful what grabs your attention. Some of us are so wired in a certain way. You see some, go off, we're going to, no, you just, is this it? We can't run for everything. One of the founders said it this way. He said, you'll never reach your destination if you stop every time somebody says something negative. Or his grandma used to say, quit chasing those rabbits in the weeds. That should be in Proverbs. So Paul continues in the book of Ephesians. Remember when it said, be filled with Spirit? He said, make the most of every time, every opportunity in these evil days. He's not denying evil days. He's not even running and hiding from evil days. He's letting us know with what we have inside of us, we can walk through evil days, and we can walk out, as the children of Israel said, even after their bondage, with a high hand. And I think we'll see that again in our lifetime. Make the most of every opportunity of these evil days. Do not act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And he picks up the theme again that he had in verse 16, I believe. He said, so don't be drunk with wine, because that'll ruin your life. You know, you get impaired, you might lose some moments. Tyler was at the football game a few weeks ago when the Raiders were in town. And the Raiders fans, they're a very special group. I'll just tell you that right now. They're a very, very special group. So Tyler goes to the game with him and his buddy, and they come in regalia, they come in costumes, you know, and everything, and they're a loud bunch for the most part, and they were partying and having a good time, and they were there, and Tyler got their little, and he said they were wired, and he said there was a guy a few rows down there from them, and he was just having a grand time, and he had come from either Las Vegas or Oakland, because they still travel from Oakland. And here they are, I think it was only the third quarter or something, and he sent us a picture. And this guy was in the full Raider gear, and he was at the stadium, no telling how much it cost to fly, no matter how much it cost to get the ticket, it was no matter how much it cost for the hotel, the food, the transportation, it took a big chunk out of his check. And Tyler said he didn't look like the kind of guy that would just write a check for it. He had to save for that moment. And he looked down at him, and all of a sudden, Tyler takes the shot of him. Tyler's right about here. And this guy is hat on, everything. He's totally out. He didn't even see the game that he came to see. And Tyler said his buddy had to shake him and wake him up and assist him and walk him down the stairs and take him home. The thing he spent his energy for, he saw that game on the calendar back in the summer. I'm going to go to New Orleans. I'm going to go see that game. He saved his money. He got that airfare, probably round trip, $500-$600, whatever a hotel is. And you know how high they are downtown right now. He went through all of those things, and he bought a ticket probably on the internet that cost him $500. And here he is there. He missed it all because he got distracted. Oh, God, do not let us miss what you have for us. Do not let us get derailed in other things. Do not let us get to the point that we are so dull that we're not hearing your voice. Let us stay on the timeline that you've given us. Be filled with the Spirit. As I land this plane, God's timing is everything. And I wrote this line that came to me that only some of you of certain age would understand. Set your clock to his tone. How many of you waited on the radio for the tone that came at the top of the hour so you could do your watch? You had to wait for the tone. It was, boom, that's when you said it. Tyler looked like she was speaking Chinese one day when Linda said, Tyler, we used to call the Coca-Cola line to see what time it was. How many of you did that? Yeah, you called that number to see what time it was. What time is it? I don't know. I'll call the number right now. 2 Corinthians 6, for God says, oh, by the way, this is always a great opening. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I wrote in my margin, on your specific day of salvation, I helped you. And here's what the word of the Lord says in 2 Corinthians. Indeed, the right time is now. That refers to our day of salvation. So let's go all the way back to our opening where we open in Ecclesiastes 3. I pick up in verse 11. Yet, by the way, you remember I read all those things, all that list in those eight verses there? Okay, what he's actually saying there right now, all these things are going to be going on and you're going to have these seasons like this, but that's not really in the final analysis of your life and what your life is going to be. And he is saying, yet, the Message Bible right basically says this, all of this will fade away and all of this will not matter. Remember when I read the time to time, remember that? He said, all of those things though will fade away and they will not matter. He says, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own, or we can read in his own time. What kind of timeline is he on? He's on an eternal timeline. He has planted eternity. By the way, in eternity, ready? There are no more time restraints. You are on a time restraint until you breathe your last breath. Whether it's being on time somewhere or whether it's the time of your life. The time of your life will come. Old gospel song said this way. This is really profound. I'm going to have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm going to get beside myself as I get beside myself that day. There will be a time. He has planted eternity in the hearts of humans. But even so, people can't see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So therefore, it is telling me to stay on guard. Yeah, time marches on. Yeah, time comes and goes. Yeah, time stops for no one. And regarding this time on earth, we are all on a timeline. All of creation is on a timeline. Even, here's where you need to be encouraged. Even you know who. What do you mean? The end of the book, chapter 12. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. All right, that means you have been removed from the fray, all right? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, those who are left, and the seal. For the devil has come down to you. The Message Bible said, he's come down on you with both feet. He's come down upon you both feet. He has great wrath. In other words, he is wild. He is raging with anger, the Message Bible says. Why? Because he knows his time is short. He knows he's on a timeline. That's why you're seeing so much rage in the world today. Let me give you this loving encouragement. The timeline of truth was created by the timeless one. The timeline of truth was created by the timeless one. And know this, remember this, speak this, be ready, be alert. He's coming back. Just a matter of time. Let's all stand.